Hello, this is Atah Durakan with the Decatur Herald and Review for Tuesday, May 26, 2020, coming to you from my home studio. We start on today's paper, Honoring Those Who Served, Keeping Respect Alive, Decatur Families Find Ways to Mark Memorial Day. This article is by Donette Beckett from Decatur. Linda Richardson visits Graceland Cemetery on Memorial Day every year to honor her husband Michael, a veteran who died in 2013, and her father Aubrey Evans, who died in 1995. "We put out some flowers and a flag," she said. "We always come out here on the holiday." The visit is a family tradition. Linda Richardson's sons, David and Scott, join her each year. "This is important to come out here and support the family," David Richardson said. "We spend time together." "And our dad was a veteran," Scott Richardson said. The Richardsons were among many Decatur area families who found ways to show respect to the fallen on Memorial Day despite Governor J.B. Pritzker's stay-at-home order and gathering restrictions that forced cancellation of many traditional events, including the long-running ceremony in Fairview Park. Visiting the cemetery wasn't the only tradition the Richardsons preserved. We're still going to cook out," Linda Richardson said. Melissa Stanley, sales manager for Graceland Fairlawn and Moran and Goble Funeral Homes, greeted visitors as they entered Graceland Cemetery on Monday. Stanley and a few other staff members handed out small flags and information as cars entered the flag-lined entrance. "We are providing them with social distancing guidelines," Stanley said, "and we are giving them a work order in case the grave needs any maintenance. This is the time that we can address any issues that families are having, because they are all here visiting." Visitors were also invited to attend pre-planning seminars. "Because of the social distancing guidelines, we've had to change a lot of the way we normally do everything," Stanley said. Although the state is still under a number of restrictions related to the pandemic, Stanley said she had greeted many visitors at the entrance of Graceland Cemetery. "We've had a steady stream of traffic all day," she said. During past Memorial Days, the cemetery would be the site of the Avenue of Flags memorial ceremony held around Graceland Cemetery's Korean War Memorial. Last year's ceremony honored 134 local veterans, alive or deceased, with a burial-size flag. Each American flag used to honor a military veteran measures 9.5 feet wide and 5 feet tall and is erected with a copy of the veteran's dog tags. This year would have been the 8th year for the event. Although the ceremony did not take place, the veterans were still honored with the flags, which were placed along the paths near the Korean War Memorial. They will be removed Tuesday morning. "We put that out every year," Stanley said about the flag pathway. "Every flag has been dedicated by their family or close friends. A lot of people stop by just to take pictures of the flags themselves." Throughout the weekend, Rich and Sharon Thornton had visited local cemeteries to place flowers at the graves of loved ones. They made a special stop at Graceland Cemetery on Monday to honor a couple of veterans who were not related to them. Their friend Sherry Neal Brown lives in California, but still wanted to show her love for her father and brother, both veterans. "She didn't have any family to come out here and decorate," Rick Thornton said. Brown's father, Vernon Bob Neal, was a Pearl Harbor survivor. Her brother David Neal, a Vietnam War veteran, passed away in 1980. The Thorntons wanted to show respect to the veterans as well as their friend. "That's the least I could do for her," Sharon Thornton said. "She's done so much for me. She's an artist and done many drawings and paintings for me." Conchetta Geis and other members of the Decatur Township Cemetery Board offered a carnation to each visitor of Greenwood Cemetery on Monday. The historic cemetery was a popular destination for Memorial Day. "For the most part, they are visiting family," Geis said of the visitors. The greeters stressed social distancing guidelines before families entered the cemetery. "People are coming and they are wearing their masks," Geis said. As a Decatur native, Geis and her family make sure they visit the cemetery during special dates. "For people from Decatur, this is what we do on Memorial Day," she said. And some photos that accompany the article here. Family Service Advisor Heather Johnson hands a flag to a visitor on Memorial Day at Graceland Cemetery in Decatur. Another photo, David Richardson and his two-year-old son, Ian, check out the various graves of family members on Memorial Day at Graceland Cemetery in Decatur. And the father, David, is holding the end of a leash, which goes off to the left side of the photo, but there is no pet shown. In the background, we do see the graves marked by the flags and beautiful red, white, and blue floral bouquets. Together Decatur mystery balloons float in. Harristown. Kathleen Jensen celebrated her birthday on April 29th by taking a walk on her Harristown property. The next part of the journey turned out to be the real gift. Jensen walked the treacherous trail with extra caution. The night before that, we had a terrible storm, the retired teacher said. With her umbrella in hand, she walked into a small, woodsy area several yards from her house. Something red, and we go to the next page, on the ground caught her attention. "I walk that every day," Jensen said about her property. "I don't have trash." Printed on the shiny red Mylar balloon were the words, "Happy birthday," and now it was my birthday, she said. Jensen took a few more steps and found another balloon deflated and slightly muddy. She walked the area days later, finding more balloons as she went. Separated from the balloons and lying in the middle of the lane was a gift card with a receipt from a Chick-fil-A restaurant. Although she was happy finding the balloons, Jensen's real excitement came from the possibility of finding the rightful owner. "This is somebody else's birthday present," Jensen said. "I've got to try to find this. To me, this is more exciting than using somebody else's birthday gift." So she contacted the nearest restaurant in Springfield. Jensen had all of the important numbers to hopefully identify the card's rightful owner, but it wasn't purchased in Springfield, Bloomington, Champaign, or any other Illinois Chick-fil-A. After a couple more calls, Jensen learned the card was purchased in Wisconsin. She reasoned the balloons and gift card traveled nearly 250 miles to her Macon County property. Jason Miley, owner of the Pleasant Prairie, Wisconsin Chick-fil-A, was excited about Jensen's story. "She's a good storyteller," he said. After investigating the gift card through video surveillance, transaction numbers, and social media, Miley was able to find Veronica Bernhardt, the woman who purchased the gift card. "We told her we had a strange story about her gift card," he said. "Then she told me her crazy story. A few days before Jensen's birthday, the gift card was purchased by Bernhardt of Pleasant Prairie, Wisconsin, for her daughter, Jenna, 14, as a present for her friend. Grace Bevac was supposed to receive 15 balloons with the Chick-fil-A gift card. The gift was attached to a rock painted by Gemma, but before Grace was able to grab the bouquet, the balloons were caught up in the high winds. I just have a picture with Grace and Jenna and the rock," Bernhardt said. "No balloons." For nearly 20 miles, Grace's sister and a friend followed the balloons. "They chased the balloons in their car," Bernhardt said. "The balloons got stuck in a tree. We thought they would just stay there. Maybe eventually the gift card might fall." To hear from Jensen was a surprise. "We never in a million years expected to hear from somebody that found it, much less somebody who wanted to give it back, Bernhard said. The gift card traveled with the balloons, which is surprising as well, according to Bernhard. It was raining, she said. The paper got wet, I'm sure. Like many people Jensen spoke to throughout the investigation, the store owner told her to spend the gift card, but Kathleen was pretty adamant. She wants to return the gift card to the right person. Once the Wisconsin restaurant opens up to the public, Miley plans to invite all people from the story for a special presentation. He plans to make the day special with extra gift cards and maybe even a visit from the Chick-fil-A mascot, the Eat More Chicken cow. No date has been set for the meeting. The store's opening and Jensen's availability will determine the day. The worn-out gift card will be given to Grace, the original birthday girl, when they meet for the first time. She and Jensen will also receive new gift cards from the restaurant. Jensen is protective of the gift card she has right now. If I put it in the mail, it might get lost, she said, so I'm going to hand deliver it. Jenna and her mother plan to purchase another gift card for Grace once her family plans an in-house party. We'll probably get her another bouquet and gift card, Bernhard said. For Jensen, she already received the gift. The quest in finding that person was way more exciting than cashing it in, she said. Now I've made some good friends. There's a birthday bond. And a nice photo that accompanies this article, Kathleen Jensen, shows a Chick-fil-A gift card and birthday balloons she found on her property while walking on her birthday on April 29th. The balloons traveled nearly 250 miles from Pleasant Prairie, Wisconsin. Coronavirus, the state response. Illinois prepares for reopening May 29th. Associated Press, Decatur. Barbers and their customers will have to wear face masks. Restaurants will be able to serve diners outdoors only, with parties no larger than six people spaced apart. And youth sports may hold practices and drills for 10 or fewer people as long as the water fountains are shut off and other rules are followed. With coronavirus-related restrictions set to be loosened this week in almost all of Illinois, Governor J.B. Pritzker over the weekend released his most detailed guidelines yet for businesses and organizations planning to reopen. The Democrats' administration also issued a toolkit for businesses with posters, signage, and checklists to help businesses implement the new safety guidelines. The Illinois Department of Public Health reported 1,713 new cases of COVID-19 on Monday and 31 additional deaths. The new numbers bring the statewide total to 112,017 cases, including 4,884 deaths. Laboratories have tested 21,643 specimens in the last 24 hours, IDPH reported. The statewide rate of positive tests is 12% for the 7-day period between May 16th and May 22nd. In Macon County, officials announced one more confirmed case of COVID-19 on Monday, bringing the county's total to 186. Of those, 68 people have been released from isolation. Three are hospitalized, 96 are recovering at home, and 19 residents have died. Pritzker's stay-at-home order issued in mid-March due to the COVID-19 pandemic is expected to be eased on May 29th for all of the state except Chicago, which is following its own timeline. Mayor Lori Lightfoot has said Chicago restaurants won't be able to reopen with the rest of the state because the city isn't achieving metrics in her plan for gradually loosening restrictions. Lightfoot is hopeful that can happen in early June. Critics argue Pritzker's restrictions have been too tough and too broadly applied, causing economic damage in parts of the state as hard hit as the pandemic. Pritzker said Sunday that the reopening, known as Phase 3 of his Restore Illinois plan, will bring about 700,000 people in Illinois back to the workplace. Most people with COVID-19 experience mild or moderate symptoms, including fever and cough, and recover within a few weeks. The virus can be fatal for some, especially older people and those with health conditions such as diabetes. If you have symptoms, symptoms of COVID-19 include fever, cough, shortness of breath, chills, repeated shaking with chills, muscle pain, headache, sore throat, and loss of taste or smell. Do not go to an emergency room or a doctor's office unless it is a true emergency. Call your primary doctor first. If you don't have a primary doctor, you can call DMH Medical Group at 217-876-2856. HSHS Medical Group Patient Advocate at 844-520-8897. Crossing Healthcare at 217-877-9117. SIU at 217-872-3800. For COVID screening, the following resources are available: Crossing Healthcare, 217-877-9117, HSHS St. Mary's Hospital, 24/7 COVID-19 hotline at 217-464-2966. HSHS Medical Group offers free virtual assessments for COVID-19 at www.anytimecare.com. We move on to page A3, local and state. Police: car damaged amid fight. Report: woman says youth in street fight struck her vehicle. This article is by Tony Reed, Decatur. A visitor to Decatur told police she estimated her car suffered around $1,000 in damage after she encountered a group of youths fighting in the street, and one of them threw a heavy object that struck her vehicle, police reports say. The 78-year-old driver from La Place was in town for a church communion service and had been driving in the 1100 block of East Wood Street around 6 p.m. Saturday. She said she saw 10 to 12 males aged from 13 to 18 fighting with each other to the right of her vehicle, said Detective Sergeant Chris Copeland with Decatur Police. She said they were armed with bats, large rocks, and hockey sticks, and when the group moved into traffic, they were all around her vehicle. Copeland said the woman saw one of the youths, aged 14 or 15, throw some kind of object which struck her sport utility vehicle, damaging both the hood and fender. She said the one who threw the object looked straight at her and threw it directly at her, but it struck the hood and fender, added Copeland. The woman drove on without stopping and later reported the incident after she had returned home, Copeland said. She had said she was uninjured. And a great picture here of some people in some kayaks. It's called Paddling Away. Kyle Anderson Front and others enjoy Monday afternoon's warmer weather in a kayak near Sportsman Park on Lake Decatur. So there's four kayaks total, two red ones in the forefront, two blue ones in the background, with people in various stages of paddling, with a dock also shown in the upper left. All right. Police: Decatur woman robbed. Tony Reed, Decatur. A Decatur woman was robbed at gunpoint Saturday afternoon while waiting to buy cannabis from a street dealer, police said. Detective Sergeant Chris Copeland with Decatur Police said the 20-year-old victim told officers she had just cashed her federal government stimulus check. She was sitting in her vehicle near the intersection of West Olive and North Monroe Streets around 2:15 p.m., waiting for a person to bring her the cannabis when she heard somebody outside near her car window. She looked up and saw this black male holding a black handgun and pointing it at her, who said, "Gimme all that expletive, fool," said Copeland, reading from the police report of the robbery. The woman handed over her cash and the robber fled on foot. He is described as being of thin build and wearing a black mask, black t-shirt, and white shoes. Pregnant woman escapes fire. Herald and Review, Decatur. A pregnant woman escaped out a second floor window during a house fire early Sunday, the Decatur Fire Department said. Crews were dispatched to the house in the 1400 block of East Condit Street at 4:23 a.m. and saw fire coming from a first floor window and a pregnant female on the front porch roof. The female had escaped out a second floor window, unable to make it down the stairs due to smoke and heat conditions, the fire department said in a statement. She was helped by firefighters, placed on oxygen, and taken to HSHS St. Mary's Hospital. The fire was brought under control quickly, the statement said. Firefighters recently installed smoke detectors in this residence, and the rescued female attributed the detectors to waking her, the statement said. The cause of the fire is under investigation. In brief, grants to help expand digital access, Springfield, a new state grant program will provide communities with money and expertise to expand broadband capacity and improve digital access as more people work, shop, and go to school online during the coronavirus pandemic. The $150,000 Illinois Connected Communities Grant Program will provide grants of up to $15,000 on a competitive basis. Man dies in rollover accident. Tony Reed, Monticello. State police said a Monticello man was killed early Sunday when he was ejected during a rollover crash on Interstate 72 in Piatt County. A news release said the accident happened at 1:48 a.m. in the eastbound lanes near Whiteheath Road. The identity of the 50-year-old man was being withheld pending notification of relatives. A 26-year-old male passenger in the vehicle from Bolingbrook was injured and taken to the hospital, police report. The crash happened when the driver's vehicle veered off the highway to the left and overturned, coming to a rest upright on an entrance ramp, police said. The driver was not wearing a seatbelt. Investigations into the circumstances of the crash were continuing Sunday afternoon. Police investigate gunfire incident. Tony Reed, Decatur. Police investigating an incident of gunfire on a Decatur street early Sunday said their task was made more difficult by the apparent target of the gunfire, who kept giving them contradictory information. Detective Sergeant Chris Copeland with Decatur Police said the 31-year-old man provided several wrong addresses for the incident, which was first reported at 5:44 a.m. Copeland said the man eventually sent officers to the area of East Marietta Street and North Martin Luther King Jr. Drive, where they recovered three spent shell casings. He said someone in a white four-door vehicle fired a couple of shots at him, added Copeland, but he remained uncooperative and he never did meet with officers in person who spoke with him on the phone. Let's see here. We move on to page A5. Local and life. Man and woman airlifted after crash. This article is by Donette Beckett. Richland County. A man and woman from Clay City, were airlifted to a regional hospital with injuries considered life-threatening after a Richland County crash involving their motorcycle and a semi-truck. Illinois State Police said in a statement that they responded to the crash Monday morning on U.S. 50 in Richland County, Route 300 East. Police said the preliminary investigation showed that a 1984 red Peterbilt truck tractor semi was eastbound on U.S. 50 approaching the 300 East Richland County Road. A 1998 Harley-Davidson motorcycle was also eastbound directly behind the semi. The driver of the semi, a 35-year-old Renard man, used his turn signal and began to slow down, moving into the westbound lane to turn right onto County Road 300 East, police said. The driver of the motorcycle attempted to pass the semi on the right side, striking the truck in the center of the passenger side. The 31-year-old motorcycle driver and his 41-year-old passenger were airlifted to a regional hospital, police said. The roadway was closed for approximately 1 hour during the crash investigation. The motorcycle driver was cited for improper passing, operated a vehicle without insurance, driving with expired registration, and improper use of registration, police said. Okay, let's see here. The Nation and World, page A6, virus may keep away launch spectators. This article is by Mike Schneider, Associated Press. Orlando, Florida. In ordinary times, the beaches and roads along Florida's Space Coast would be packed with hundreds of thousands of spectators eager to witness the first astronaut launch from Florida in 9 years. In the age of coronavirus, local officials and NASA are split on whether that's a good idea. NASA and SpaceX are urging spectators to stay at home next Wednesday for safety reasons, officials in Brevard County, home to the Kennedy Space Center, are rolling out the welcome mat in an effort to jumpstart a tourism industry hard hit this spring by coronavirus-related lockdowns. If people are comfortable coming and watching the launch, by all means come. If they aren't, I respect that too, said Brevard County Sheriff Wayne Ivey. I'm not going to tell Americans they can't watch a great piece of history. I'm just not going to do it, he said. The sheriff said he is asking visitors to practice social distancing as they watch the launch of astronauts Doug Hurley and Bob Behnken on a test flight of SpaceX's Dragon crew capsule. About 85 reserve deputies will be on hand to monitor crowds and ask people to comply with social distancing if they are in groups. A local chain of beach shops is distributing 20,000 masks to spectators in coordination with the sheriff's office, Ivy said. The sheriff, who grew up in Florida watching launches, wants a new generation to be able to experience the energy, excitement, and feelings of patriotism that come from watching a U.S. launch with astronauts. NASA is a true part of our history in Brevard County, Ivy said. After a two-day safety review, NASA and SpaceX on Friday cleared the rocket for flight Wednesday. Liftoff time is 4:33 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time. Earlier this month, NASA Administrator Jim Bridenstine asked potential spectators to watch the launch online or on TV from home. The space agency is also offering a virtual launch experience. NASA is doing its best to facilitate social distancing inside the Kennedy Space Center by limiting access, although it may be hosting two VIPs. Vice President Mike Pence says he plans to be there, and President Donald Trump said he's thinking of attending. The visitor center at Kennedy, usually a prime spot for viewing launches, is closed to the public. NASA astronauts have not launched from the U.S. since the space shuttle program ended in 2011. It will be the first attempt by a private company to fly astronauts to orbit for the space agency. The challenge that we're up against right now is we want to keep everybody safe, Bridenstine said, and so we're asking people not to travel to the Kennedy Space Center, and I will tell you, that makes me sad to even say it. Boy, I wish we could make this into something really spectacular. Although crowd sizes varied, a high-profile space shuttle launch could attract 500,000 visitors to the space coast. Local tourism officials think next week's launch will bring in no more than 200,000 spectators. With airline passenger traffic drastically down and nearby Orlando theme parks closed because of the pandemic, we're not going to be getting the out-of-state traffic we may have gotten during the shuttle era, said Peter Kranis, executive director of the Space Coast Office of Tourism. Well, that brings us to the end of the first half hour. We'll take a short break and be right back with part two, the second half hour of the Decatur Herald and Review for Tuesday, May 26, 2020.